So you know that person who gets all of your references and you're pretty sure you're on the exact same algorithm for Instagram ads?
Courtney is my person for that.
Rachel, want to tell them about the pod?
We're friends and neighbors.
Who live in the same building.
And two Geminis.
Born 5 days apart.
And our love languages?
Instagram.
No, mine's TikTok.
Well, that's because you're the younger one here.
We're obsessed with astrology.
And culture.
And knowing Lupita Nyong'o's birthday.
She's a Pisces.
Of course you know that. You're not all Geminis.
Outed on my own pod.
Well, that's why we're here. We're going to be coming at you, our lovely listeners, with a weekly pod.
To talk about how culture and the media we consume all relates back to astrology.
Sometimes with fun guests.
Sometimes with our top 10 most influential people of each zodiac sign.
I feel like I've been waiting my whole life for this.
What if I told you? You have.
Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is
Uncut Geminis. Woohoo! Woo! Welcome to our first episode of the pod. Thank you so much for listening.
We're so excited.
We're so excited. I'm so nervous.
I know. I'm very nervous too, but I think that's okay. I think it's good. Like, I always think if you aren't nervous, you're not caring quite enough, you know, when you have to really, it means you really care about something.
Okay, so who are we this week? We, look, as Geminis and just as humans, we are all changeable people. Yeah. Every week we are different. Every week we are pursuing a new aspect of our lives. This week we're podcasters,
honestly. This week we're podcast.
This week we're podcasting genius. We're Marc Maron, you know?
Marc Maron is my idol. We're and basically... I'm not afraid to say it.
Great. That's awesome. I think so in many ways, this week we are podcasters.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
yeah,
I think this week I'm a psychologist.
You are so psychologist this week.
Thank you so much. This week I have been just absolutely giving my unfiltered opinions because I'll have you know, I almost had enough credits for a psych minor in college. Wow. And I bring it up whenever I can. Because I do think that I am justified to do a little armchair therapy.
Yeah.
And I love diagnosing people with... Not even diagnosing people. It's just like being like, you know what? I see through this. And I like when I, you know, those moments when you feel confident about just being like, I know exactly what you're doing and I'm going to say it. That's been me this week.
That's totally been me this week.
You know what? Here's her problem.
How do you use that? So say you're big three.
So I'm a Gemini sun. I'm a Pisces moon and I'm a Virgo rising. Which actually kind of checks out. Virgo risings love finding a problem. They love fault finding others. They love being super critical. Yeah. I mean, Virgo rising, it's a bitchy rising sign. It's like a not nice rising sign. Mm. Sorry, fellow Virgo risings. I wouldn't call us kind. I remember one time I was hanging out with my friend who's been like one of my oldest friends. And I was like, I'm working on being less judgmental. I think I'm actually kind of judgmental. And my friend snorted and was like, huh, you think?
Whoa, that's where all the truth comes to.
I know. This friend is a Pisces.
Oh my God. I think Pisces are my enemy.
Wow. Okay.
Because.
Speak to that.
I have best friends who are Pisces, but something about Pisces' way of thinking is so confusing to me. It feels like everything in the universe is happening to them all at once a little bit. And the whole world is just viewed as a different wash of color or something. Mm-hmm. And they'll be just like so upset about something. And I'm just like, wait, this is actually okay.
The thing is, like, as you're saying this, I really identify with my Pisces moon.
I know.
Like, I think my Pisces moon, when I found that out about my chart, I was like, a lot of things like started clicking into place. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I feel known. I remember reading my birth chart with my sister one time, and it was actually, I think, the first time I had ever seen the full chart. And we were like, my mom was texting me the wrong time at first, and it came up as Aries moon. We read the whole Aries moon thing, and she's like, okay. And then my mom like texted again. We read the Pisces one, and she's like, no, this one's way more accurate.
Yeah.
So the difference is like, you're impulsive. Like, you love direct conflict versus like, you are passive and dreamy, and you have a really hard time dealing with the problems of the world.
Yeah, see, the passive and dreaminess to me sometimes just feels like, let's do something. That's like I'm like, okay, we have a problem. Let's talk about it. Let's embrace it. Let's figure out a solution.
I think I love to talk about it. I just don't love to do something about it. Like, I can totally sit there and not do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. I think this week I am somebody who is trying to like not let my sadness overcome me. I know it sounds so great. No, like, we just are putting ourselves out there in really big ways lately, like on the internet. I'm like producing a bunch of projects. And so I think I had a dream about this where I was like, how can I protect myself?
Oh my God.
I know, it sounds crazy. So like, even just because like, I'm so easy to like just wake up and go versus like, maybe I should just journal or sit on the ground for a second. And I dream of being one of those people who like has a hour long morning routine.
I mean,
that involves dry brushing.
Oh my God. Dry? So, oh, right. Dry brush.
Where your body, you like dry
brush. You like scrape.
Yeah.
At yourself. Isn't this, it's good for blood circulation?
It's good for
right?
like everything. But I'm just like, I'm going to wake up and put on pants and walk out the door. And I wish I could be. So my goal is to like, I journaled this morning. And I was like, yeah, that's who I am this week now. I journaled a couple pages and that is everything about me.
Okay, all right. She's the artist's way. She's Julia Cameron.
I'm Julia Cameron.
We're Marc Maron and Julia Cameron this week.
Oh my God. Truly, I wonder if they've talked. They probably have.
Oh, I'm sure they have. Julia Cameron seems like she randomly knows everyone.
Literally, in the artist's way, she's like, and then my friend Steven Spielberg needed help writing his movie.
Okay. All right. Julia Cameron, for anyone who doesn't know, Julia Cameron is the author of The Artist's Way, which is a book that's like a series of self-guided creative exercises.
Literally,
that she came up
anytime
with.
Somebody tells me they have a problem, I diagnose them by sending them The Artist's Way. Last night, my neighbor was like, I want to have a more creative job. And I was like, well, have you read The Artist's Way? And then I always leave the hangout and screenshot or text them the how to buy The Artist's Way.
I mean, it's honestly, it's the best.
It's the
I
best.
Fucking love it. There's a lot of like God propaganda in it.
Yeah,
but,
so much.
Other than that.
Yeah, if you can get past the God. Oh no.
Well, I mean, no. Okay, the thing that I was going to say, though, that shocked me. She was married to Martin Scorsese.
What?
Why isn't that public?
Wait, what is Martin Scorsese?
How did I do, like, almost a year of The Artist's Way without it coming up? I don't know.
I want to know his history of marriage.
I don't know, but I know he has, like, a 17-year-old daughter, and I remember being like, you're too old to have a 17-year-old daughter.
Too old?
Yeah, he's, like, insane.
How old is
he's, like,
he?
80 or something.
Oh, my God, we need
his
more.
His daughter's name is, I want to say, Francesca. I remember she's a Scorpio, and he's a Sagittarius.
Wow.
I don't know why I have this information. I don't know why I know these things.
Oh my God. Okay. Speaking of.
This is what we meant when we said niche references.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about, like, oh, do you guys remember, like, Victorious? No, I'm talking about Francesca Scorsese's birth chart.
I'm obsessed.
You're along for the ride or you're not, you know, and that's okay.
They were so happy at the Oscars. You know what I do to make myself feel happy a lot? I sound so depressed on this one, but whatever. I watch Bong Joon-ho's acceptance speech all the time.
Oh.
For him winning Best Director for Parasite.
Why?
Have you watched it recently?
Not since it happened.
I watch it all the time.
What makes you happy about
it? Oh my God. He spends the entire award giving credit to everybody else. And so he says, like, how Quentin Tarantino put his movies on the list when nobody else would. And then he gives this beautiful quote that about filmmaking. And he goes, and that quote is from our great Martin Scorsese. And then Martin Scorsese stands up. The whole audience applauds. He takes the time out of his speech to thank him. And then he gets an award, an applause. Oh my God, just tears. Tears stream down my... And then he looks to Sam... What's his name? Mendez? The 1917?
Yeah, Sam Mendez.
And he's like, you're a good director too. And just kind of gives him a little nod. But it's just like, what? It brings me such joy. Because he didn't think he would win. And yeah. Everybody That's go nice. Watch that right now.
That's nice.
Taylor Swift.
Just throwing out Taylor Swift. Is this how we transition into conversations?
We have to talk about conversations. We've been waiting to talk about it for so long.
The thing is, Taylor is always the axis.
Martin Scorsese, Taylor Swift.
Gosh.
Okay, let's do this. I've been dying. Did you like it? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
No. Conversations with Friends sucked. Because here's the thing. I like that book so much more than I like the Normal People book. That's a lie. I like Normal People a lot too. But I like Conversations with Friends better than I like Normal People.
Yeah.
And I liked the Normal People adaptation for Hulu. I thought Paul Mescal and...
You don't have to see his dick, right?
What?
You Paul Mescal.
I never remember that you can see his dick in that show. I don't even remember seeing it.
I didn't fully... Yeah, okay. I didn't connect to Normal People as much as I connected to Conversations with Friends.
I think I just enjoyed Conversations with Friends more, but I think that actually Normal People is probably better written.
Oh, wow.
And I remember being pretty bummed that they took out the thing is, I think that Sally Rooney writes really funny, light characters, And for whatever godforsaken reason, these fucking Hulu adaptations are just like just so heavy and dark and like, I don't know. I feel like they're taking away a lot. And they're also, they also take away all of her politics out of him. I feel like she's really, she talks a lot about like money. Like really specifically about money.
Maybe they're trying to show it rather than tell it, I think happens.
I guess, yeah.
I feel, okay, so you did not enjoy the adaptation of Conversations with Friends.
I didn't, but I mean, I thought it was just really, I thought it was really boring. I thought they made, like, took all of the life out of it. And I thought that Joe Alwyn was a really bad actor. Yeah. And I think they made Bobby really unlikable where she isn't in the book.
Yeah, she's so likable. She's like the best character in the book.
And I think they just changed so much. But I mean,
I actually thought it was pretty close to the book. Okay, so here's how I feel. I feel that they, like, I could not imagine watching this show having not read the book because something about it is so boring.
Yeah, it's fucking and
like,
boring.
My boyfriend was watching it with me and he was like, why are they talking to each other like that? Wait, and then like when he starts crying because he's like, I told my wife we had sex. He's like, what? Like, we're just like, what? You know, and it's like so embodied in this novel that she's writing that comes from Frances's perspective. And so I think there's something about it just can be so boring. It's like, why is nobody talking to each other is kind of how it feels like when you're watching it. But my hot take, because the whole time I was like, I don't like this, I don't like this, was that I actually kind of started to like it. My hot take was that I liked it because I think two amazing actresses won me over. The actress who plays Frances, whose name I do not know at this exact moment.
Allison Oliver.
Oh, yeah, they did that cut article about her too, which was nice. And then Jemima Kirk. Absolutely amazing. I would have never picked her for Melissa, and she was a great choice.
I loved her. I will say, when the casting came out, I flipped my shit because I was like, she's a perfect Melissa. And she was
you
a perfect
knew
Melissa.
She was wow.
I thought she was incredible as Melissa.
She was incredible as Melissa. She was a great actor. I mean, watching her is amazing. But Joel Alwyn.
Joel Alwyn read every line the same. It was like this like very low, husky, I'm an actor, and I'm being the romantic lead. And it was like, Frances. Bobby.
I just want to know, does he talk like that in life? Like,
we don't know because he's so fucking not. He's like, oh, I don't want to live in a public life. You mentioned when he cried, and I know exactly there are two moments when he sheds a tear, and I swear to fucking God, they put Visine on his eyes after like he like, cut it away because you can't see the moment when he actually tears up. Mm. And I yelled at the screen while I was watching it, and my boyfriend was in the room, and I was like, Matt, he's acting. Look, he's doing it. Look. And he was like, had to like take his headphones out and he was like, oh, cool. Like, he was like, look, he finally changed his tone of voice. Wow. Good. Congratulations.
Allison Oliver is just, that's her name. Allison.
I think it's Allison Oliver.
Oliver. Yeah. She's fantastic. Like, she is just like, you can see it all. The second she feels something, her face gets red. It's just, she's in it. She's committed. I think she's a great choice for Frances because there's something kind of plain about Frances, which is like, I think she brought to it in such an interesting way because you're kind of like she does feel shadowed to Bobby. So then when she shows up and it becomes all her story or her secrets, and then it's like, I wanted to know how they were acting against each other the whole time. Because I'm like, she is giving you so much. Yeah. She's giving you so much. What are you giving her? But that's kind of the story.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow, yeah. What is he giving back? But here's, okay, I loved her acting too. And I think what frustrates me so much about this as an adaptation is that in the book you just get so much more out of Nick and he's so much more, they talk a lot more about how he's depressed and how he is going through it and you only hear it in the adaptation. Like you hear like, oh, we went through a really hard time last year. But what you're seeing is like where in the book you hear he's like walking in like sweatpants and shit. Like in the movie, in the show, he's walking in and he's like well-dressed and showered and he looks like Joe Alwyn and he's got his hair done and like he's like, oh, I got wine. You know, like he looks like he's fine and he's acting like he's fine, but he's just like a sulky kind of dude.
Yeah.
I don't feel like at any moment we feel God, anything from him. Anything. He really was like acting. Like, shouts to Allison Oliver for acting against a fucking brick wall. Like a hot brick wall, but a brick wall.
So do you think that was apparent that just because Nick is hot, or just because Joe Alwyn is hot, he's Nick? But does Nick have more depth to him? And we're just drawn into this beautifulness. And then kind of being a wall is a part of the character? Or is that what he brought to it?
God, I don't know. Now I don't know. But I went and I reread parts of it because I was pissed off. And I noticed that they explicitly, like, they redistributed lines. Like, they gave, like, Bobby Francis lines. And I was like, that's just, like, a lie. And I hate it. Like, I'm like, nitpicking. But yeah. It really bothered me. Because I was like, you're making character choices in your shitty adaptation that have an impact.
Totally.
And I care about the impact. And I'm sorry if that makes me, like, a little fucking nerd. But no. I'm a little fucking nerd. And, like, and I think that the outcome was a worse product. It was a bad product.
I think it's just interesting how much we can care as readers about something. And then you have such hopes because you're making this story up in your mind about how you connect to it, you know, and then watching it. Was the kitchen how you imagined it?
I hadn't imagined it.
You didn't
all.
Imagine the kitchen?
I didn't imagine the kitchen.
I like the outside, that it was just right next to the kitchen, was very interesting to me. And then the door was it was like all right there, just in one spot.
It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. So like, did you read Beautiful World, Where Are You?
No, I started.
That, yeah. I think, is the most Sally Rooney. I mean, it's so clearly her. It's her dealing with her fame. So, I mean, in her way, of the characters clearly got famous from writing these books. And now is like, how do I exist in the world? I don't know what to do moving forward. That's my pitch for that book. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, if I'm ranking them, because I got to, I would put Conversations with Friends, best book. Normal People, best book. Beautiful World, Where Are You, best book, which mm-hmm. is sad. It's going down in the terms that she's written them.
Yeah, it sucks.
Wow. Okay, so I'm ready for the next adaptation to watch and shit on. Hey, this is an ad break. Are you a sponsor? Want to promote your thing here? We want to work with good people. So email us at uncutgeminispodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at uncutgeminispod. Thanks, y'all. What else are you watching? What else is going on?
Well, okay, the casting for Red, White, and Royal Blue came out today.
What is this? It's a book.
This is, wow, I didn't even translate it to another book.
Books!
But this is, I'll keep this short. This is a book that I like, that I read. It's by Casey McQuiston. And they just came out with the casting for the leads. It is the story of the son of the president falling in love with kind of a Prince Harry stand-in.
I've heard of this, yes.
Yeah.
It's not My Date with the President's Daughter.
No.
Disney Channel original
but it's
movie.
Not. But it's not far off. It's like, I mean, you know, it's cute. It's fun. It's very much like a fluffy romance. And the casting just came out. And the guy who's going to play the American is in Minx? Yes, Minx, the HBO show that
I
wanted to tell you about.
Which you also loved, yes.
Which I watched all of in like 2 days. And it's about kind of like an answer to Playboy. I don't know, maybe Playgirl. It's like it's supposed to be an amalgamation of a few different magazines in the 70s that are kind of like Cosmopolitan, but with a centerfold. And not even really Cosmopolitan. Like, she clearly wants it to be more of like a Ms., like the Gloria Steinem magazine.
Yeah.
So she wants it to be this like really feminist magazine, and they're like, cool, but that won't sell. What if we put a dick in the middle of it? And she's like, I really don't want to do that, but you're the only one who will publish me. And so the guy who is their first centerfold, who is like the dick in Minx, is going to play the lead in this book adaptation of this book I like. And so now I'm really excited about it.
I love it. Who's playing the Prince Harry?
Actually, he's the guy who played Prince Charming in Camila Cabello's Cinderella.
What?
I don't know. He's in a few.
Did you watch Camila Cabello's Cinderella?
I did, and I watched it so stoned, and I got home and I was like, apparently yelling that I was like, it was so good, and I don't remember this at all.
Apparently,
I don't have any memory.
You loved it.
And then I watched it again in the morning, and I was like, this is so bad.
You watched it twice. You watched it not once, but twice. You watched Camila Cabello's.
I watched Camila Cabello's Cinderella twice. Yeah. Cinderella, cut it up one time.
Nothing
cut
ever
it up
beats,
two times.
Nothing beats the Brandy Cinderella for me.
Yeah, the Brandy Cinderella is the best one.
It was just so good.
It is the best
one. And we kind of grew up on that one.
Totally, yeah.
That's the one I remember.
That was one I had like on VHS.
Oh my God. I have to shout out, I know you don't watch, but the best season of Survivor just happened. Courtney, go watch all 42 seasons right now.
No, fuck no.
In pandemic, that's all I could talk about.
I can't do reality TV.
Okay, I'll keep you up on all of those. I'm watching the Kardashians. But the best season of Survivor, it was just like good gameplay, good people, great winter. Everybody was so excited. I was like, didn't know what was going to happen till the last second. And then they pulled through. I don't even want to say specifically. That's how excited I am about this survivor. And I just, man, it was good. It was good to be back in it.
So good to be back in it. So good to be back in it.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was my survivor experience.
I feel like I just watched so much and now I'm like on pause. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been watching I Love That For You.
Okay, I watched the first episode Showtime. Of that.
Yeah.
Of I Love That For You.
I mean, I just love all those people.
I do too, and it still didn't stick for me.
Yeah.
I think I was really ready for the ending of the pilot to be different.
Oh.
And then it didn't hook me. And I wish it did.
Yeah. It's fun to just watch really good, fun, comedic people play for such fun characters.
The thing is, I'll probably watch all of it because I love Matt Rogers.
I love Matt Rogers. I love all of them.
Sometimes you just want to watch something for, like, that one actor. Also, Molly Shannon. Molly Shannon is one of my people who I'm like, when she shows up and shit, I love that you're here right now.
Courtney, did you watch The Other Two?
Yes, I love The Other Two.
Oh, my God. The Other Two was so good.
It's so fucking funny.
I wanted every single person to be, it's on Comedy Central, Molly Shannon. It is such a good, funny show about this kid who gets famous, and then he has two older siblings who are like in their 30s, and they're like, what about me now? And Molly Shannon plays this crazy mom, and it's just like Ellen kind of vibes.
It's like a love letter to like Frankie Grande,
yes,
basically.
Yes.
And like Dina Lohan? Is that the mom or is that the sister? Michael Lohan?
I don't
Lohan,
know.
Lohan. Lohan. It's Lohan.
Yeah.
I learned.
There
I
was
know.
A kid in my high school.
I'm not the same girl I was.
who got really famous when he was like 14 and went on Ellen.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know where he is now. But it was.
I hate to be on Ellen as a teenager. Christ. I'm so.
Well, you can't. Ellen's done now. No more.
Yeah. And that's probably good too. You know what's crazy is literally the week I moved here, mm-hmm. I was like, doing the thing of like, you move to a new town and you meet everyone that your people tells mm-hmm. you to meet here. You know, so my sister's friend lived here. And I was like, I have not seen this girl in 10 years, but sure, let's go get coffee. And the girl was like, one thing you should know, never work for Ellen. And I was like,
that was the first
oh?
thing.
I was like, oh, tell me more.
Yeah.
Literally like the first week I moved here though, it was like, oh, never work for Ellen. And then like from then it was just like.
Then Ellen was calling you every single day.
And then
was saying, get
course,
up in here.
First
come
thing
work.
In the morning, I get an email from Ellen DeGeneres herself. EllenDeGeneres@gmail.com.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Hi, Courtney. Heard you moved in. Would you like to be my head writer?
And you're like, wow.
And I said, I would, but I've been told you're not a nice person.
I've actually never seen somebody, or I'm sure it's happened, redeem themselves so quickly as Ellen. Like,
what?
Everybody still went on her show. She's had like the longest farewell season ever. No celebrities got mad at her. She still like continued.
But who's going to like, who's going to strike out against Ellen?
I've watched an Ellen clip. Since it's all happened, you know what I mean? Like, what really happened to her? Nothing. She was like, okay, I'll be nicer.
I think you can't actually even quantify that kind of loss of reputation, though.
Whoa.
Like, I think that's the kind of thing that it's like, yeah, no one, like, you know, what's Chrissy Teigen going to do? Just be like, hey, fuck you, Ellen. You shouldn't have said that. Because then it's like you're opening yourself up to.
Right. Nobody can say
actually, anything. Yeah, like glass houses, right? But. I think if your whole thing is built on fucking be kind,
yeah.
And meanwhile your entire staff hates you, yeah. Because you're a horrible person.
Right.
And that's like really commonly known.
Yeah.
To the point that it's an open industry secret in a city this size. That's fucked up. That sucks.
Hey, say something nice about Ellen.
I mean, she's a trailblazer. She's incredible.
Oh.
Like, in full sincerity, like, it's amazing that she was so brave to be the first person to come out on television.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that's amazing. She's always going to be amazing. And I believe both of these things to be true. Like, I believe that she is.
That is so Gemini.
Yeah, I believe both these things to be true. And if I met her, I would only say the positive things.
The shift in your face. You go, like, so dropped in. I mean, she's amazing. She's a trailblazer.
I mean, yeah. She was told, don't say gay. And then she had that fucking magazine that just said, yep, I'm gay.
Yep, I'm gay. Pretty crazy.
That's crazy. That's so brave.
I think that's
why
she was like, hey, I'm a trailblazer. Nobody can say shit to me.
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah, I mean, I think famous people are crazy. I think, like, I mean, that's the truth is, like, you have so many yes men in your life.
Right.
And, like, how are you supposed to maintain a healthy ego when everyone's telling you that you're the most amazing thing ever and that everyone loves you? And also when you have the luxury of being able to burn a fuckload of bridges and there will still be a million other bridges that want to bridge with you.
What's Ellen's sign?
She's an Aquarius.
Wow.
Yeah.
So some questions that we talked about in the teaser. Let's address it.
Okay.
Let's get this out.
Okay. So I asked you, do you think Elizabeth Olsen is the most powerful Olsen right now? Go.
Right now.
Right now. In the year 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think for the majority of people, probably 90% of people in the world are obsessed with Marvel. That's 103%. Am I obsessed with Marvel? I don't think so. But people love, come on, WandaVision? I don't know. So that's my question is, I don't know if everybody consumed Mary-Kate and Ashley the way that we did.
Okay. My answer to this?
Yeah.
Yes, Marvel is everywhere, which is why she is completely and utterly interchangeable. It could be Brie Larson. She could be Brie Larson. She could be Natalie Portman. Oh, she could be Scarlett Johansson. She could be anyone.
Wow.
And it wouldn't make a fucking difference. But Mary-Kate and Ashley, they're cultural icons forever.
Wow.
They're always going to be Mary-Kate and Ashley. And specifically Mary-Kate is more important.
Why specifically Mary-Kate?
Because Mary-Kate is the one who had issues with addiction and with eating disorders. She's the one who partied with Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. Ashley was always the one who was like the good girl. And so Mary-Kate got absolutely dragged through the fucking mud in the tabloids. She is a totally a part of 2006 tabloid culture.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a fucking icon.
Yeah.
Bowls and bowls of cigarettes at her wedding to a Sarkozy. She has a chic that Elizabeth Olsen will never be able to touch. Elizabeth Olsen is an LA actress. Mary-Kate Olsen is an icon till the day she dies.
I love that Mary-Kate wears her Birkin bags till they go, like, bad. Like, she, like, most people just, like, are so intentional with this bag and she just throws shit in it like, oh, it's so funny
because okay. She's fucking Mary-Kate Olsen. She doesn't have to do anything.
Okay, and the question, I only want to address one more question today and then we'll address the rest in episodes to come. We'll keep going through this teaser, but will Nicole Kidman ever take a break?
I think she's gonna go forever.
She works 4 projects a year, huge projects,
because she's talented and she's beautiful and she's gonna keep going. She's gonna keep going.
What do you think, like, a vacation looks like for her?
God, I don't know. With Keith Urban?
What's her sign?
She's a Gemini.
Oh, wow.
She's actually right on the cusp of Cancer season.
You think she'll come on our episode?
Of course I do. She's gonna come on and be like, hey, when do I get a cut of the hats? Yeah. We're gonna be like, never. when I can...
She'll be somehow... Heartbreak feels good.
Somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Wow. No breaks for Nicole Kidman.
No breaks for Nicole Kidman. You know, she has a second family. Well, it's a first family. Her family that you think of as her family is her second family because she has 2 adopted children with Tom Cruise. But once she divorced him and got out of the Scientology community, they remained Scientologists, these 2 adoptive adult children.
Adult children.
They're adults now. Yeah.
Are they still Scientologists?
So they're Scientologists and they don't talk to Nicole Kidman anymore. And Nicole Kidman's like, oh, I still love my children with Tom Cruise, but I just kind of love my biological children with Keith Urban a little more.
Do they know that she's Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, they know she's Nicole Kidman. Their dad's fucking Tom Cruise. I think these children are probably really traumatized.
Wow.
But anyways, that's my fun fact about Nicole Kidman for the day. Somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this. Wow.
Wow.
Somehow heartbreak does feel good in a place like this. Like, the more I imagine her just like saying it to herself again and again in the mirror and just figuring out, like, you know, like the Shakespeare, the cadence of it all.
Somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
In a place like this. Somehow.
Somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
All right. We did it. Okay. We always close with compliments.
Compliments.
Compliments. Ugh, because life is like, you know, you can always shit talk, but you can always have another perspective, I think.
It's true. It's
so
true.
We're going to close with some closing compliments.
I will go first.
You will go first? Okay, go.
I will go first. Rachel, I love your commitment to pink. This week and this last week, Rachel, at her birthday party, showed up and everything was pink. And she was like, the theme is pink. I didn't tell anyone but myself. And she was dressed in just head to toe pink. And it was amazing. And even right now, I can see Pink hair, pink nails, pink pants.
Oh my god.
The pink continues. I love a commitment to an aesthetic. I think you look adorable and I love it.
Oh my god, that is such a good compliment. Compliments make you feel so good. Okay, my compliment for you. I literally am addicted to your knowledge of literally the niche stuff. Like, you just telling me those Nicole Kidman. But you know what about everything? This morning you showed up and you're like, I have 1,000 things to say about this extremely specific thing. And I feel like I'm reading a book when I talk to you.
Oh my God.
The theme is, that's the theme. I feel like I'm reading a book when I talk to you.
Oh, wow. That sounds exhausting. But
no,
thank you.
I love it. It's like, I love gaining this knowledge. And I feel like I go home after hanging out with you and I'm like, I know so many new things. This is so cool. I'm a better person because of it.
Oh,
you make me a better person.
Oh my God. You make me a better person.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. I'm going to tell you so much about the water content of nut milks now when we end this episode and how it affects farming.
Yeah, we talk about nut milks for so long. Nut milk. I want to give one more compliment, if that is okay. I want to give one more compliment to our producer.
Our producer, Ezra. To our producer, Ezra, too.
Okay, let's each give a compliment to Ezra.
Okay.
Literally, we could not be here, sitting here doing this without Ezra right now, because Courtney and I are just silly people.
It's true.
We're like, we want to have a silly little podcast and say silly little things. And he was like, actually, there's like a lot of work that needs to be done and I want to help with it. And I just admire his graciousness and his excitingness to make this happen. And no matter how hard it is, he's like, at the end of the day, this is going to be amazing. And that is such good energy to go into this with.
Absolutely. I would like to add that Ezra's really hot.
Yeah.
I'm going to go full vanity if Rachel's going full sincerity.
Oh, gosh.
Ezra's really hot. You can't see him right now, but you know what? You will when you go follow us at Uncut Gemini's Pod on all of our socials.
Yeah.
You will see at Ezra Lee, and you will be like, that's a really hot person having
and
a producer.
He's wearing soccer shorts.
What's he doing behind the scenes?
Yeah.
This is talent. This is face.
Yeah.
This person, yeah.
Wow. We're all really hot, though.
Really, really, you're hearing a lot of brains and beauty, and I know what you're thinking. Video killed the radio star? What? This is all face. This should be recorded. And you're going to think, and you take that thought, and you're going
to
say, TikTok. Go to our TikTok.
Wow,
now I want to see all the face. And we're going to say, hey, we're not there yet. We're going to get there soon.
Yeah.
This is our first episode. Calm down.
Yeah, calm down for everything. Literally, you can never be mad at anybody for anything they ever do in a first episode. Who knows anything? We're learning. We're growing. I'm excited. That's good to talk about for our upcoming stuff.
Upcoming stuff.
We have lots of really fun upcoming stuff. We're going to interview some guest moving forward, and the guest will be adherent to the season it is. So we'll get a fun Gemini guest on. Very exciting. And then we'll have some fun Cancer stuff. And on top of that, in a few weeks, we have our top 10 Gemini list coming out.
I'm so excited for this episode. We're going to record our top 10 Geminis, and I'm already thinking about who we're going to duke it out about. But also, like, I know who my number one is. I want to know who your number one is.
Yeah.
I think we probably agree on it.
Yes.
I think we do agree on it.
I'm so excited.
Which is why it's going to be fun to round out the other 9.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. This is going to be so fun. You guys, that's definitely going to be, I think, the one to tune in for, even if you don't want to hear us talk about books.
This has been so fun. This has been a dream. This has been a fever dream. I don't even know what's happening. I don't know who I am or what I believe, and I'm excited to figure it out.
Okay. On that note, we're figuring it out as we go.
We're figuring it out as we go. I think we've come out of this with completely different opinions.
And you know what? And that is the spirit of Gemini season. Keeping an open mind. Keep flexibility. You know, all of that. We're open to a pivot. This podcast is open to a pivot. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Holy shit. Oh my God. First episode. Ah.
Bye, friends.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh my God.
So here's where they went wrong. By the way, my name is Ezra, and I'm a Scorpio sun, Scorpio rising, and Cancer moon. Yes, I am very, very emotional, but I'm really good at masking it. All right. Ariana Grande's birthday is June 26th, 1993, and she is a Cancer sun, Libra moon, and Capricorn rising. Martin Scorsese is a Scorpio, not a Sagittarius, and he is 79, not in his 80s, Courtney. His daughter Francesca, yes, it is Francesca, is a Scorpio, and she is 22, not 17. In normal people, we do see Paul Mescal's dick. Twice. Dina Lohan, or Lohan, is the mom, and Michael Lohan, or Lohan, is the dad. However, there's also a Michael Lohan, or Lohan, Jr., who is Lindsay's brother. And by the way, the hats are hats that are sold on Courtney's Instagram, not all Geminis. somehow heartbreak does feel good in a place like this.